What is going on, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. Changing things up a little bit for this week. I am, one of your hosts, Kenny. Also with me is Tess, but Tess is not going to be able to stay with us. She's here to kind of explain a little bit before she, takes an exit. So Tess, I'm going to pass it over to you.
Hi everyone. 2 weeks ago, Kenny and I mentioned why we may not have recorded last week. The reason why you're hearing from us a week l later is because Kenny got his shot and turned into a Power Ranger for a few days. And then I actually did have a concussion and I still have one. And so that is why I'm not going to be here for the remainder of the show. I'm not supposed to be using electronics for extended periods of time because it is very disturbing to my eyes and causes some headaches and overstimulation. And also, I'm having some speech problems, if you can't already tell. So, unfortunately, I did suffer a traumatic brain injury just from hitting my head, like the clumsy idiot that I am. So, I will hopefully be on 2 weeks from now after some major healing happens. Let's just hope and pray that normal soon, because clearly right now you probably are all wondering if I'm hooked up to machines, because I know I don't sound like my normal self. And I don't feel like it either. So thank you guys for understanding. You're the best. And I will turn it back over to the guys. Jamie's here, by the way, y'all.
Thank
Right, Tess, take it easy and please get some rest.
I will get some rest. Good night, you guys, and bye-bye. Mad early, but bye-bye. Okay, see y'all later.
See ya. All right. So, yeah, Tess really wanted to do that. She wanted to kind of explain why she wasn't going to be around for a little bit. When we spoke, I told her that, you could just not. I could just explain, or I could just not do the show. Because honestly, the show is me and Tess, even though we have, special guests every now and then, it's our show. And so I was like, you know what? We could just be on a hiatus for a little bit. But she wanted, us to kind of go on with the show, and she wanted to kind of explain why, so people weren't, thinking I was kicking her off. Like, this is not a Joe Budden type of thing. It's essentially,
I was drinking.
say what?
I was drinking when you said that. It's not a Joe Budden type of
Oh,
thing.
my fault, my fault.
Just spit on my chest.
Yeah, so want her to recover. And so she's having, like she said, was having problems with, looking at anything digital, so checking out her phone, reading text, all that good stuff. So she can only do it for so long and then she has to stop. And I didn't want to continue, but she was like, just let me come on for like a minute or so. Let me just explain what's happening and then we'll kind of move on from there. So she's in recovery mode. She's going to be chill. And, I want to say she'll be, getting another checkup from the doctor. She let me know that when it first happened, we had the podcast and everything was fine, but then days later it was kind of rough. She went to the hospital. Doctor said, you take a break from all digital, take a break from work. But then it kind of continued after that, where I would talk to her and she's like, I'm kind of in a fog. I don't know what's going on, and so I'm just gonna kind of rest. And so I've been kind of, checking in with her every once in a while. Unfortunately, because it's still COVID. And I'm not fully vaccinated. I haven't actually gone over, and by that I mean, drive to, where she is. But from what I'm hearing, it's things are progressing. So hopefully, she will get back into her regular normal self, and then we will continue like normal. Until then, though, I'm not sure what we're gonna do. This is the first podcast with us being back, with me recovered from my second shot, the COVID shot, or second vaccine shot. And so I was like, you know what? Ooh, let me grab someone. Let me grab Jamie. If we're gonna do the show, at the very least, let me grab a friend to kind of jump on. So I might do that again next week, or I might just call it and be like, we're not gonna do it. I'm not sure just yet. We'll see. We'll see. With that being said, jumping into today's show, me and Jamie are going to talk about a bunch of different things, some cool stuff. The first of which being the movie Spiral, from the Book of Saw. I saw that yesterday. It was actually in celebration. I went to the doctor. I get these checkups. I have a nutritionist that I go to, and I get these checkups to kind of see my progress in terms of losing weight. And I did really well for this the past month. I lost a total of 18 pounds, so I was super excited. And so when I got back, I was like, I want to do something. And I was thinking about going to the movies, but then I was like, let me hold off on that. I still might go because I definitely want to see A Quiet Place 2 in the theater. But then also I was like, outside of COVID, I was like, you know what? People are getting back into the theaters now. They might not know how to act just yet. And I haven't been in the movie theaters in like a year and change. If you ruin the experience, I might have to hurt you. So that was another reason why I didn't. But I was like, you know what? Let me rent a film that is currently in theaters. So I picked Spiral. And I had, we had pizza. My wife went and got pizza and everything. Thin crust, thin crust. And I watched Spiral. And it's not as bad as people say. It's not necessarily good either, but it's not as bad as people say. Chris Rock did an okay job, and those moments when he was believable, and some things where I felt like, I don't know, his acting was a little, I think his acting fit for the world because it's over the top, and kind of campy, but there were some instances where I couldn't take him seriously. Not so much because he was joking, but because how he delivered like some of his lines. Outside of that, though, I think he did a pretty good job. The plot isn't anything great. I mean, we've kind of seen this thing before. It's actually kind of predictable. I predicted who was the villain. I want to say early on, or at the very least, maybe one third through the film. I was like, oh, that person did it, and I was right. I was right. But beyond that, though, it was good. It was entertaining. It was the mystery, trying to figure out who did it and stuff like that. It's not one of the best Saw films in the sense that a lot of what they are doing in these films we've seen a bunch of times, and it's not novel anymore. And the fact that it's not super connected to the original Saw films makes it even less so because it's not, the plot isn't as intricate. The plot isn't as, it does take place in the Saw universe. They do mention the other characters, but it's not as linked as you would think. And because of that, the story kind of has to stand on its own. And it kind of stands there wobbly, if that makes sense. It's not sure-footed just yet. But yeah, it was okay for a rental. I wasn't displeased, but it's definitely, and to be fair, some of the other Saws aren't that great either. I mean, the first one was really good, but it kind of, as a Saw fan, I'm like, it's kind of there with the rest of the Saws. But Jamie, I was so I with us mentioning this and like, talking about it, you told me that you actually never saw any of the Saws. I said Saw too many times just then. Anyways, yeah, you haven't seen any of them. Are you not a you're not a fan of horror, or you're just not a fan of Saw? Or
So basically what happened, I guess when it first came out, I was 13, so my family also didn't go to the movies a lot, and
gotcha.
most of my family can't take horror movies. They would have been screaming in the theater the whole time. So when it came out like on video later, like I was still only in middle school. Yeah, it just it never really interested me, I guess. Like the deaths were cool, but It just came out at the wrong time. Like if the series started today, oh, I'd be watching it. I'd be watching it, all of it. But it just happened to come out the wrong time where like I couldn't really watch it. If I was like 16, 17, I probably would have saw it.
That makes sense. I mean, and granted, I think for me, I was watching horror films way too young, so you that's a plus for you. But I think that's kind of where I'm at with The Purge. I don't know if you've seen The Purge series, but it
So
wasn't
I
that.
haven't seen it, and I'm aware of it.
Okay, you haven't seen it either. So like, but the thing, it wasn't because I was too young to watch The Purge or like just wasn't interested because of my age. It was more so that it came out. And I just missed it for whatever reason. And then when the second one came out, I was like, I don't want to see that until I see the first one. And you know how that
Oh
kind
boy.
of, yeah, that kind of spirals. And then before you know it, there's like five of them, and you're like, crap, I didn't get to see any of them. And I know they're not the greatest of films, but I feel like as a horror fan, I kind of want to see it just to kind of like check it off.
The way I feel about these horror movies is I feel like these movies come out often enough where everybody will forget about one and, move on to the next one. Although that didn't really happen with Saw. Saw, I think, is the most popular type of movie like that that keeps going. But yeah, just I'll catch the next one.
Yeah, it's actually, yeah, it's really popular. It's made a ton of money. And I think Scream is another one that's like that just earned a crazy amount of money. And so yeah, that's why they keep making them. And for me, it's more so just legacy. There are certain series that I just wanted to kind of be a part of or kind of not even see it just for myself, but see it so I can kind of have that added to my lexicon of information that I can pull from. Kind of like with video games, when we talk about Mass Effect and the fact that I had missed those games when they came out. Now that I'm playing it now, I recently beat the first one. I'm on the second one, with the legendary, remake or whatever. It feels good, even though I might not enjoy it as much as I would have when I played it, if I would have played it back then. The fact that I can now pull from this from my own knowledge and speak about it is really cool for someone in our position where we could talk about these things all the time, especially on a podcast, right? Being able to be like, you know what, this is kind of like this helps when you're talking about certain things. And so that's kind of where I am with it. It's not something where I'm like, as a fan, you have to watch it. It was just more like a personal, like, let me just check this off. So I'm eventually going to watch all the Purges. They announced like the final one recently, but you know how finals go. I mean, Jason had a final Friday the 13th or whatever, and that was skipped. Like they just kept going, like just whatever. So it's but I do want to see it. I kind of want to rent them all and just kind of go through and at the very least I can speak on it. So as far as this particular Saw film, Spiral, it's okay. It's all right. You're not really missing a whole lot. If you are a fan. And if you aren't a fan, it's a Friday night popcorn. It was all right, but you never really have to think about it ever again film. That's which is okay. It's all right. It's all right.
I think I am gonna get to it and probably watch them all, because if I'm not mistaken, none of the movies are like super long, aren't they? Aren't they all like in like the hour and a half, hour, 50 minute realm?
Something like that. Yeah, they're not anywhere near, the superhero, because that was something that's kind of happened as of the last however many years, where which I like, by the way, but where the films have gotten longer, some of them. This is more of a, and the same thing with the budget, because horror films are very, they don't cost as much as other films, and so with that said, the runtime and everything is a lower, and you kind of get through it quick. What makes Saw interesting isn't so much what happens in the films, it's how they tie back to each other. It's the same reason I watched Paranormal Activity. Those movies aren't good. They're not. But I like the lore because they each one ties into the previous one in interesting ways. By the time you get to the credits and you see that this character was really this person's uncle or this person's neighbor or you see how they connect everything, it's like, oh, that was well thought out. It's everything else in the middle is kooky, but that was really, really dope. I want to see the next one. And that's how they get you. And so, the same thing with Saw. Like Saw, The first one is really good. The second one is a little less than that, and then it kind of goes up and down from there. And they all have something to do with one another. They tie in terms of the timeline, and so that's really cool to kind of, I don't know, like the comic book version of, vibe that I get from the films, or how the Conjuring universe, they all tie into this big timeline. It's just really cool to kind of be a part of this thing that's happening in film right now. So yeah, I would recommend it. I know they have sales going on right now because the new Spiral is out for rent. They have the old ones on sale to rent for like for cheaper than normal. So you could, definitely check that out. So yeah, that's my brief review of Spiral. I'm not gonna spoil anything. I just think that it's kind of middle of the road. I would give it like a 6, maybe a 5.8, a strong 5.8. It's hard to really do that with films because, with major sites like Rotten Tomatoes, they kind of go left or right. It's either fresh or it's rotten. There's no in between. And I believe that there's some things that are like about to be rotten. You know what I mean? Like you have a tomato, it's not there yet. You should probably cook with it, but it's gonna be there tomorrow. That's how I feel like this movie is. So next thing we wanted to talk about, speaking of films, we wanted to talk about the Borderlands movie. Recently, I'm looking at IGN right now. They released some shadowy, fi not IGN, but IGN is reporting on the Borderlands film, and apparently the director or whoever released photos of the cast in their ensembles, but they're all like shadowed out, so you can't see what they look like. You can only see their
The silhouette.
silhouettes. And I know this might sound bad because you only can see their silhouettes, but they look really cool. Like they look like they might look like the actors. I mean the characters in the game.
Yeah, for the way they took the pictures, the silhouette is all you need, and it looks like they did a damn good job.
Yeah, especially
It
Lilith.
looks great.
Like
Yeah,
Lilith
on those
looks like
pictures.
she looks like it looks like the game version, because you what's really cool is that the silhouette highlights certain features, so like her hair, the way it like flips up at the end, or where her the gun placement, her co the parts of her shirt, like it's highlighting the things that we notice from these characters when we're playing, because like you know how like in a video game. Let's say you're playing like Call of Duty or whatever, and you don't really recognize someone's uniform, but maybe the coloring or the parts that are at the ends, like someone's helmet or something, will note like tell you that this person is a bad guy or a good guy. It's similar with Borderlands, where like, okay, I know that this is Lilith because of the hair. It's a little bit easier with Claptrap because he's a freaking robot. But like the other characters, like oh, the hat, the shoes. Okay, I know who you are. The bunny ears, like we all know who the bunny ears person is. You know what I'm saying? Like you just know who they are, and it looks great, even though it's not showing much of anything. Like,
They highlight enough, and
right.
it's really good. I think Tanis is actually one of the best pictures.
Oh,
Like, there
word.
is no doubt that that's Tanis.
I don't know. I don't know. I think
And then
Lilith
Kreyko.
hits it hard.
Yeah, the idea is all of them actually look really good, and it's hard to, like, if you played the series before, it's hard to mistake any of them.
Exactly. So for the people who don't know, we have a picture of Roland, we have a picture of Tiny Tina, Tanis, Claptrap, and Lilith. I believe those are all the pictures.
And Craig.
Oh, and
Craig the
Craig.
Psycho.
Yeah, and we have Craig, which I can't wait to see them in full makeup and see them in the gear. And honestly, I wasn't even that stoked about a Borderlands film. I really wasn't, especially when they started announcing the cast. I was like, eh, I don't know. But
Oh, so
then,
you
oh, go ahead.
sorry, so you are aware of the cast. That cast is really, really good.
It isn't though. Let me pull it up. Hold up. Just so I don't like mess up anybody's names or whatever. Because before they announced the cast, it was there was rumors about who was gonna be who. And so like I was like, I don't know about this person, that person, whatever. But then when we started to find out who they were, I was like, oh, well, okay. Like Gina Grissom for Moxie. Makes sense. That works. Kevin Hart
That's a
for Roland.
really good Moxie, I think.
That is a really good Moxie, but Kevin Hart for Roland though?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. That I'll give you, because Roland wasn't like really short, and I believe Kevin Hart's 5'3".
Yeah.
So, and not to mention, I believe Gina Gershon is relatively tall, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe
So
so.
it's gonna look weird. Yeah, the Kevin Hart one is probably the biggest issue I have with it. Maybe he'll make it look good, but it's just the way he acts too. Like he's not.
He's comical. I don't see him being a serious soldier. I mean, granted, I've seen him in serious roles and he's done well, but I don't see him as a soldier. Like, I don't see him. And I don't know, maybe that, because it's obviously it's going to be humorous, right? They have Jack Black as Claptrap. So it's going to be funny. And the series in and of itself is funny. But there are, I would assume they're going to have some serious moments.
Yeah, they have to, because even the series itself, they the whole like from Borderlands 1, the beauty of that series was the mix
Yeah.
of comedy while keeping it realistic, where it's believable but way over the top.
Right.
So we'll have to see how Kevin Hart goes, but for everybody else, at least from the rest of the cast, like Jack Black as Claptrap, I can't see that going wrong. I feel like that's perfect.
What about Kate Blanchett as Lilith?
It's a little odd because I haven't seen a lot of her movies. The last thing I know about her was she was, I believe, the elf in The Lord of the Rings, or was it somebody else?
No, she's in The Lord of the Rings. She was also in Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which is not a good look. And she was in Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, was she?
She was. She was in Thor
Who'd she play
Ragnarok.
there?
She was actually. Who did she play?
Oh, she played Hela.
Ah, there you go.
Wow. Okay, I didn't realize she played Hela.
So that could work. The thing is, though, I didn't really like Hela in that film. Granted, it was really the Thor Hulk movie. It wasn't really just Thor. So it was kind of like they kind of had her as an afterthought. So she
Yeah.
could do it, though. She was also in Ocean's 8. So she could do it. She could definitely do it. I think some of it is I think some of what I'm getting is kind of like remember when Hugh Jackman was brought on as Wolverine? And a lot of people were like, nah, that's not Wolverine. And then we saw him and we're like, that's Wolverine. That could be what happens here,
Yeah,
with these
it kind of
characters.
comes down to like with a lot of these movies, the actor makes the actor becomes the character.
Right.
So they could make it work. Same thing with like, Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man. Like you can't see anybody else's Iron Man. She could do that. If Borderlands ends up doing well, she could do that.
Do you think that it's going to be a good in terms of plot? Because I know that, excuse me, that Borderlands has a plot, and at the same time, it's very loose. In a sense, Borderlands 1 a little bit is a little bit tighter. Borderlands 2 is a little bit more wacky, and then 3 is there's a plot. There's things that happen. There's things that there's characters, there's motivations, there's all this good stuff. But at the same time, because it's a game, a lot of that stuff doesn't translate well to the screen. And we have a problem with these type of films where we either cater too much to the game and we're just like it in the case of Silent Hill, and it doesn't work out because a lot of that stuff is gamified. And then on the flip side, if you diverge too much from the game, we get something like Monster Hunter. So you don't want any of those. You want something that makes sense for the medium, but at the same time, you want as many aspects of the game as possible. I'm a little on one hand, I'm a little like hopeful because Borderlands, because it's so loose, you can pretty much write a bunch of whatever and it'll work out. On the flip hand side, I think that to make it work, you're gonna have to remove a lot of either you're gonna have to remove a lot of video game, or you're gonna have to make it just so that the video game moments are little nods here and there. You know what I mean? Like I don't know.
Like I feel like the hard video game moments have to be carried by particular characters. Like Nox has to be good. If there's any mention of Jack, he has to be really good. Like I believe that's what's gonna carry the film if it ends up not being great, is some of those characters. Like Tannis, I'm pretty confident in, 'cause did you see who was playing Tannis?
Yeah, that is,
Jamie Lee Curtis.
yeah, and it's Jamie Lee Curtis. I don't have any type of, she's perfect. Like I
Yeah,
don't,
that cast was great.
yeah, definitely, definitely. And she's done type of quirky, acting before. Like she's done that before. So I don't think this will be a stretch for Jamie Lee Curtis. Like I think she'll do a solid job, and she's great actress anyway, so it doesn't, yeah, she would do great, she would do well. And I think that she also sort of looks like her, to be honest. I mean,
He
granted,
does actually with the short hair and like the whitish colored hair.
yeah,
But yeah,
although it's
she
platinum,
looks like
yeah, she does. I don't know if that's if her hair was just like that because of the gray or whatever, but basically she looks the part, she looks the role. And she's great at acting. I don't foresee any type of problems. But some of the others, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I believe you. But like I said, we'll have to see. We'll have to get them. I think the biggest concern for me is Kevin Hart. And depending on his role, how far they go, or what they allow him to do or to take part in, that's the part where I'm like, I don't know. He might be intricate to the story, he might be really dope coming out. We'll see. Or it might be just a big comedy, where everything is silly and over the top. I mean, the fact that they have Tiny Tina in it means that they're not going to stick to the first movie.
Oh, yeah, definitely not.
You know what
Oh,
I'm
did you see
saying?
who's playing Tiny Tina?
I did, Ariana. I think that's how you say her name. Ariana.
Yeah, she was the girl that played the young Gamora in Infinity War with that Thanos and Gamora scene.
Yeah, she's also in the upcoming Boss Baby film, which I actually want to see because my kids like Boss Baby, and it's kind of cute. Anywho, yeah, she that's gonna be interesting. How old is she? She's 13.
She was born in 2007, so
Yeah.
yeah, 13.
Okay, so she's gonna be a PG rated Tiny Tina. What is Or maybe not, maybe not. She might be cursing up a storm. Do you know what the rating the film got? Is it an R? It should be an R.
I don't think they have it yet because they're still filming.
Oh, right. Okay. I want to say. Oh, go ahead.
It has to be a R. It has to be a R. They can't do that. It's Borderlands. Just with what's expected from playing a game like Borderlands and having a character like Tiny Tina and Craig, there better be some blood. There better be a lot of blood. There has to be.
The whole what was it, the scene where she had the guys doing the tea party, the explosive tea party in the second game. Yeah, that's gonna be interesting to see on screen. I'm looking forward to seeing more about it. I'm not 100% sold, but I'm definitely interested. Like I want to see what they do with it as a film. I'm definitely down. I'm a little nervous. I think the
Better
shots.
than Monster Hunter. It's going to be better than Monster Hunter.
That is a very low bar. This is such a low bar, that it doesn't really work. Oh, that reminds me. I want to. I know I keep going back to these films, and this kind of works because we're talking about video game films, right? I was thinking about Mortal Kombat, and I think what one of my biggest gripes was. I think I finally like found where it is, like how to like articulate it a little bit, because people are kind of torn on how serious you should be about a game with a nonsensical story or just over the top lore like Mortal Kombat has, right? And I'm like, you know, there's a way of doing it where, outside of the first film, there's a way of doing it where you're able to be, you know, kind of corny or you know, playing it for laughs, but then also have to be serious. And I think the how, no, what is the name of that film? There's a film, Cabin in the Woods. I think Cabin in the Woods does a really good job of that, because Cabin in the Woods makes fun of itself. The characters are, there's certain characters who play things too seriously. I don't know if you've seen Cabin in the Woods before, but
I have not.
gosh dang it, Jamie. Cabin in the Woods, because it's a on one hand it's a serious film, and on the other hand it satirizes horror like as a genre. And so there's parts where there's like really serious, like people are dying and people are playing it seriously. There are other parts where it's just funny, like straight up funny. And then there's parts in the middle where either the characters are making fun of themselves, making fun of the genre. Like one guy is like, "You're way too serious for this role. Like you're just way," like he says it. Like there's a guy who, I don't want to give it away because it's a great film, but there's a guy who's talking to someone and he's trying to sound menacing, and the other guy on the other end is like, "Dude, you're trying way too hard. Like, did you just say that?" And they have him on speakerphone, so people are laughing at him as he's trying to be this super serious person, talking about doom and gloom, and it's great. Like, I think there's a way of, you know, being fun and making fun of yourself and making fun of the genre, breaking the fourth wall, all those things, and still present something that's cohesive, that's well written, and that's just acted well. You don't have to have one or the other. And I think Cabin in the Woods, it's unfortunate that you haven't freaking seen it, but I think Cabin in the Woods is perfect. I think it's a perfect film for that. But yeah, I want these films to be good as possible. I'm a fan, obviously. I'm a gamer, so I want them to do well. And a lot of it comes down to what works for the medium. Are you going to take it seriously enough, at the very least, to present something that's fun, or of quality? And how far are you going to go? I think Monster Hunter did really well with the special effects. That was about it. That was about it.
That's all you're gonna get from Positive and Monster Hunter. That's all you're gonna get.
That's it. The giant creatures looked great. Like, I kudos. Everything else was. So anyways, our
Bad.
next topic,
Bad.
I wanted to use something stronger than bad, actually. Our next topic, which is probably going to be a longer topic, is E3. E3 is coming back this year, but not back. It's still digital. And we're going to have all these different shows. It's actually longer than it was pre in previous years, because of course everybody wants to have their own special event. Now that it's not going to cost as much to actually be on stage and present your wares like previous shows, everybody wants to have their own show. And I don't think everybody needs it. But, you know, that's where we're at right now with COVID and whatnot. And it's cool. I'm not saying that no one should show like the new games that they have coming out or get together. You know, like that they we in the previous years we've had one of the newest part of the shows was the PC gaming show. And that was actually really cool because it focused on just PC games, or for the most part, games that are going to multiple platforms and PC, as well as a lot of indie stuff. They also showcased new graphics cards and basically all the stuff that you would be interested in if you're a PC gamer. I think that was really dope because those things get overshadowed with the normal E3 shenanigans, right? So that's cool. But every Joe Schmo company does not need an hour to show their games. They can piggyback off of someone else. Like, you guys can get together. Anyways, so the schedule is constantly in flux. I believe I'm looking at IGN again. I believe we have some things set in stone. Things are going to kick off actually this week, or Saturday, June 5th. Things are kicking off with the Guerrilla Collective, and I believe that is Let's see, the glue. Yeah, that's going to be at 8 a.m. PT, so 11 p.m. Eastern time for the folks over here. The gorilla is going to start off. They're going to, and also going to have right after that show, Black Voices in Gaming from the Gorilla Collective, which I'm interested in, because duh. Thursday on June 10th, IGN is kicking off its own show, Summer Games Fest, which is. Even though it's ahead of E3, it's still going to be a part of E3 because some of the things that are being shown there are going to be announced or revealed there and shown in more detail during E3, or possibly things that couldn't make it to E3. This is where the piggybacking come in, is going to be on their show. I don't think they're going to have, yeah, their showcase isn't going to be as long as it was last year because last year they had multiple days of the Summer Fest. Actually, no, I'm wrong. They're going to be continuing the Summer of Gaming. Never mind. So yeah, so IGN is going to be doing from Thursday, June 10th to let's see, Friday, June 11th. Are they doing it on Sunday as well? Oh no, they're only doing 2 days. Okay, so it's not. They had a whole week before. Okay. All right. So then after that, so June 12th, this is the first day of E3 E3. So they have another Gorilla Collective Showcase. They'll have the pre-E3 show. Then Ubisoft is doing a forward pre-show and a forward, like their main show. And basically, they're going to be showing off. I actually got a press release about this. They're going to be showing off updates to Assassin's Creed Valhalla, updates to Rainbow Six Siege, updates to For Honor. So basically, a bunch of older stuff. They're also going to be showcasing new stuff or stuff that they previously announced, like Rainbow Six Contagion. We're actually going to see some stuff, some gameplay from that. They also are going to be doing. Actually, let me pull that up. They're also be going.
Which,
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
with Ubisoft, they actually changed the name of that game, because when it was first announced pre-COVID, the original name was it, so it was supposed to be Rainbow Six Quarantine, and I feel like they kind of like pivoted from that.
Or is it not that? Hold on. I might have accidentally changed the name myself.
No, yeah, it was Rainbow Six Quarantine.
Here we go. Boom. All right,
But
okay,
it
my
says
fault.
formerly known as.
Yeah, okay. So well, I am right. Okay. So it's not Contagion. I don't think it's Contagion, but they did change the name. Because it says formerly known as Rainbow Six Quarantine. So it's gonna be a world premiere with a gameplay trailer. And they're going to be showing the new co-op title for the first time. Awesome. They're going to show more details of Far Cry 6, which was, so we're going to see a little bit more than what we, the previous trailer that they showed recently, the previous gameplay trailer. They're going to be showing some stuff for Apple TV that I don't really care about, as well as their upcoming film, Werewolves Within, which actually looks really fun. I'm definitely going to check that out. But their show is going to, they have 3-part show, so they're going to have a, I guess a pre-show that kicks off with a lot of the older games, like Watch Dogs Legion and stuff like that. They're gonna have a main show that shows all the new stuff, and then they're gonna have a after show or after whatever where they kind of talk about what they just shown, similar to Nintendo Treehouse. So all that is going down on Saturday. Also, there's a Gearbox Entertainment presentation, but there's no time for that. So yeah, I guess they're gonna fit in where they fit in, I guess. So that's gonna be Saturday, June 12th. Sunday, June 13th, we have the E3 pre-show. We have the Xbox and Bethesda showcase, which is I'm totally looking for. We have Square Enix Presents, and we have the Future Game Show. And then after that is the PC Game Show, which doesn't have a time slot just yet. Monday, June 14th, we have another pre-show for that day. We have the Razer E3 keynote. Then we have, and these things aren't set in stone yet, but we have the Take-Two Interactive presentation, which just was leaked. We're going to talk about that stuff in a minute, what was leaked. But we have that. We also have a Capcom presentation, Mythical Games presentation, Freedom Games presentation, and a Verizon presentation. I have no idea what Verizon is doing.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, Verizon and, what was the other company? There's another company that I heard and I was like, really? What are they doing? And then Tuesday, June 15th, I told you there's a lot of stuff. We have the Nintendo Direct, Nintendo Treehouse Live, which I love because they actually sit and play the games that they were talking about. That is one of the coolest things ever. I don't care about these fake, like when people play Ubisoft games and they're like, "Dude, go left, go right," and they're trying to talk and getting into like character, and it's all scripted. I like the Treehouse because it's just people playing the game naturally. Granted, they're going to be talking about the game and actually asking questions and stuff like that, so it's not 100% like in your house, but it feels like you're just chilling with somebody playing a game, and it's all day long. Shout out to them for that. Bandai Namco is going to have its own presentation, and Eureka. I can talk. Eureka Games is also going to have a presentation after that. So that's three, shoot, that's 4 days of content. After that, Monday, June 16th, is the Steam Next Fest, which was pretty dope last year. A lot of cool games. I actually reviewed some of them as they came out this year and played a bunch that they were showing off. What's dope about the Steam Next Fest, as opposed to the other presentations, is that majority of the time, you can play all their games that they've shown in demo form. So it feels like you're actually at E3 playing these demos that you would be able to when you're at E3. So shout out to Valve for being able for doing that. And a lot of it is indie stuff, which indie I think needs more of the spotlight. The AAA games are gonna hog up most of the feed, the news feed for the week. But there's some dope indie games coming out. We so I kind of want them to get their shine, but that's it. I kind of went through it pretty fast, and there's times and whatnot that I can definitely go into, but for the most part, I just kind of wanted to hit everything so then we could kind of talk about what we expect to be shown. The first thing we want to talk about though is the Take-Two leak. Apparently there's some interesting things coming from Take-Two. One of them being a Marvel XCOM game. What?
I could. The thing with it's already popular. It's already good.
Right.
Adding Marvel characters to it, I think you could only go one of two ways. Either the Marvel characters are just like kind of hashed in, and it makes it worse, or it's just gonna make it 10 times better. Like, I don't think there's an in between.
I don't know. I think it, well, it depends on how they do it, right? Because XCOM is all about making your character and or making your group of characters, and if they die, they die. There's a permanence of it, similar to Fire Emblem, right? So what I'm afraid that they'll do, and I hope they don't, because that would be a tease, but if they made a Marvel game where you made your own superheroes, but you never really played with the staple Marvel characters, or if you did, they were like a guest NPC for a level or something. That's what I don't want. Could, you know, the I, you know what I'm saying?
That's what kind of makes it. That's kind of what I meant by like just like hashed in.
Oh,
Like, it's
okay.
not really Xbox game. It's not really a Marvel game, but they just kind of like just threw it in there.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's not what it is.
Yeah, because I would hope to. If I don't think they're gonna do the permadeath thing, obviously with Marvel. But if they did have some type of system, like maybe this person is knocked out for however long or whatever, that it's actually Spider-Man being knocked out and not random dude number five. Like I want, but having a turn-based Marvel game could be interesting. I'm always talking about having a MOBA of Marvel of some of Marvel characters, especially if it was like Smite. Like I would be super down for that. So, it's interesting, right? It's kind of who would have thunk? Because most of the Marvel games are either top-down Diablo style or a fighting game
You got
or
some action, I guess, too. It's
you got
like
some
Marvel
action,
Avengers.
but there's not a ton of turn-based games that I can think of, right? There's not a lot of,
Outside of like mobile games, nah.
yeah. And I hope they don't go the mobile route either. I do know that there are some good mobile games, but I kind of don't want that. I want a nice, cool, big budget or medium-sized budget Marvel game, especially seeing as how Marvel, the Avengers game kind of went when that released last year. So anywho, so that's one thing. What else was leaked? There was some other stuff that was leaked from 2K, right?
The Borderlands spin-off that they said they were doing.
Spinoff. Okay, so in this sense, I'm cool with that because Tales from the Borderlands was really great. The writing was really dope, and I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that, especially with it not being a looter shooter. Yeah, I want to see Borderlands in a different light. I can imagine an RPG would probably be pretty cool. Granted, they'll make you grind in another way, but whatever. Which is interesting. They also mentioned a little bit about 2K, I believe. But I don't really play 2K, the 2K games anymore. So, whatever. But yeah, the Marvel XCOM game and the Borderlands spinoff, I'm down for that. I'm down for that.
Yeah, the spin-off is actually supposed to be based on Tiny Tina. So
Oh, word?
it's supposed to be a Tiny Tina starred game.
Do you know if it's a
So
shooter?
as far as I can see, it doesn't say anything. And I'm looking at a Game Rant right now, and it doesn't say anything about it being a shooter or anything. They haven't said much. It's just a leak, Tiny Tina stars, Borderlands. That's pretty much all they got.
All right then. Oh, well, I
But
would.
there's potential there.
There is potential, like totally. I would definitely check that out now that you said that. And I know that kind of sucks with stuff being leaked. Honestly though, I feel like some people do this on purpose because I'm like, how do people outside of someone hacking your stuff, how is it that things leak so much, before E3? Like usually, like the week before E3, like Microsoft is notorious for getting their stuff leaked, right? Like Amazon accidentally put like the box cover of a game out, and people like see it and like screenshot it like immediately. Like I feel like it's too orchestrated for that to happen every year. Like how is it that you can put up a box cover of a game that's about to be announced, and within 2 seconds take it down, and there's a million pictures of it everywhere? Like how do we, how?
Yeah, I feel like some of that sometimes, not all the time, but I feel like sometimes it's the company themselves trying to build up a little extra hype. I feel like there's just something, granted, tinfoil hat,
Right.
but I feel like some of them do that.
Got you. Okay. Yeah, it's a coincidence, man. It doesn't really, I don't know. But this, I don't know how this leak came about. And it could be all wrong. There's been plenty of information that's been spread around recently that's just doesn't sound right at all. But, it's interesting at the very least. What's also interesting is a couple studios coming out and saying what won't be shown, or at the very least, in what capacity, right? Santa Monica Studio recently said that God of War is going to be pushed into next year. And this, I mean, I could have sworn everybody felt that way. Like, I don't think anybody thought it was coming out this year.
No, there hasn't been nothing, like, hasn't even been a, well, there was like that few second teaser trailer, I think, and that was it.
Yeah, and that was last year. That was last year. So, them saying that they're shifting their release window to 2022 wasn't shocking at all. That was, I thought it was par of the course on the, to be honest. And but I think the timing of the announcement makes it kind of goes the opposite of the leaks, right? The leaks make you get you hype, like, oh, I want to see what this Marvel game is. But Santa Monica is kind of circumventing the hype. Like, calm your jets. We're not going to be showing what you think you're going to be showing at E3. Where you might see a trailer, you might get a little bit of gameplay, but there's not going to be a release date. There's not going to be a whole lot of whatever to kind of like, jump up and down for. Is for the most part, you got some waiting to do, and so we kind of get that out of the way before E3 starts. That way, they don't get all the hate mail and whatnot, which they're probably going to get anyways, but
Yeah, that's a given.
unfortunately, right? It's
Yeah.
horrible. What else? So jumping back a sec, so that was like, information that was coming out early. Some of the stuff that I'm seeing or hearing about, or people are speculating about, is the Marvel, I'm sorry, not Marvel, Microsoft and Bethesda showcase, which I feel like has the biggest, could very well have the biggest impact in gaming, right? Because with Microsoft buying Bethesda, everyone automatically assumed that a lot of games are going to be exclusives, or if they're not exclusives, they're going to be on the Game Pass, when they launch for all the other systems, similar to Minecraft Dungeons, right? However, Microsoft has gone on to say that they will have some exclusives. It just depends on the game. So everyone is looking at this as like, oh, this is Marvel's time to flex. Not Marvel. God, Microsoft. This is Microsoft's. I'm looking at the Marvel thing now. Microsoft's time to flex with all this muscle that they potentially have with Bethesda. Because we have, potential of another Elder Scrolls, a new Fallout that isn't, the what we had previously. The announcement of potential games that were going to be temporary exclusives on Sony, possibly moving over to Game Pass at a later date, which I kind of see that happening anyways. And the idea of new IP, new stuff that maybe Bethesda's been working on that they haven't said anything. And then also there's the Halos and the Fables and whatnot, all the games that they kind of made mention of but haven't shown anything, right? Halo is a big one because it's supposed to be coming out in November.
Yeah.
So, thoughts?
This showcase is super important for Microsoft. I don't think they could afford to have a bad show. Because even their last couple of shows, people haven't been happy with it. Like Bethesda, the last major thing they release, a whole bunch of bad publicity, unless I'm not thinking about it, but it was Fallout 76.
I believe so.
Game basically bombed immediately. Nobody was happy for it. They kept releasing stuff for it, and people were like, "I don't care." And I think that's about all they got. So Bethesda has to show something like mind blowing. And then the rest of their stuff, like Halo. Halo doesn't have a lot of people behind it anymore. Like, people just tend to, like, there's nobody nowadays. If you look at younger gamers, 20 and younger, do any of them care about Halo? I don't think there's a lot that do. So with Halo, it has to find a way to stay relevant, because even the Master Chief Collection, overall, their numbers in terms of games of that name, like Halo used to be among the names of, like, Call of Duty and things like that. It's just not a lot of people playing it, as opposed to what is more than, like, what you would get with, like, an indie game. But I think, like, if I check, let's say on Steam, the Master Chief Collection only has, let's see. In one
But
second,
to
I'm
be
gonna check
fair, that's also Steam. But like
it.
to be fair, because if it's not a console games do well sometimes, and sometimes they don't. But it's also Steam's nature, right? It can fluctuate pretty hard, especially after a game has come out. Granted, Days Gone is doing really well PC
Yeah,
wise.
Days Gone is doing great.
But for me,
Great.
I feel like that's because people just wanted Sony games on PC. Like they've been wanting that for a long time.
Yeah, but like I was saying with Halo, they got on Steam, they have less than 8,000 people playing, and even like on console, I believe they're not up there on the list. On like one of the more played games. Last I remember, they were like in the top 50 or something. So there's just not a lot of people. It's just not as popular as it once was, and I feel like they're trying to like. They're trying to revive something I don't think is really going to get them much. Maybe Halo, was it Halo Infinite?
Yeah.
Maybe something will kick it off and it'll get really good. Maybe they'll turn it into a BR. They got to do something, because like I can't see this whole showcase working out that well for them. Because like what's been happening with like previous years, Sony's going to do a showcase and it's just be like, Sony 183. Again, and it's just like that. Like, I just don't see it going well.
Man. That's rough. I mean, I can't call it. I mean, what you're saying, it makes sense. I couldn't say. I think Halo is definitely revivable because it's Halo.
Yeah.
And it's a possibility that they do something great. I mean, they've announced so many things that could potentially be in his benefit, or at the very least hinted at it. Like we heard about the multiplayer portion possibly being free, the fact that there's Game Pass, the fact that there is cross play that's going to be going on with it. Like, there's a lot of things that from a, like, I guess feature input side is looking really strong. It's just if the game actually, you know, is worth playing at the end of the day. And the previous Halo, at least, like, I think Halo 4 and 5, I wasn't really a big fan of. I liked some of the multiplayer. The story just lost me completely. So I'm hoping that they kind of get back to, you know, and not to say that Halo had like the most amazing game story, because it's mostly shooting and a little bit of content and then shooting. Most of the,
Halo 1, 2, and 3 had a good story.
I mean, really, a lot of the details I knew because I saw, like, I read like the Halo books, or I saw the you know, the extra stuff to kind of explain certain characters. I think, I mean, Halo 2 was better. I think it had more story with the Arbiter and whatnot. But yeah, there are parts where I'm like, what? Although I think Halo Reach was great. So yeah, it has its ups and downs. And
Yeah.
I think it's possible for Halo Infinite to definitely come out swinging. They just have to come out swinging, like you said. They have to kind of get people, and because there's enough older people who remember Halo fondly enough to kind of push the needle to get people to want to play it. So I'm
I agree
interested in that.
with that. I think their biggest mistake was actually showing off Halo Infinite when they did. That first like trailer slash gameplay session, I've heard nothing good about it. I saw it myself and it doesn't look good. It's just that I think did way more harm than good.
I mean, it
So
did.
it's just our when they re when they s put out their new trailers, are people still gonna say, but this trailer still looked terrible? And I feel like people are gonna be weary about it just because of how bad that first trailer looked.
I didn't think it looked that bad. I just thought it wasn't finished. Like, because there's a ton of trailers that we see, and mind you, there was a little bit of gameplay. Because this, I think this is where the comparisons between Sony and you know, Microsoft, they do a lot of the same stuff. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors. There's a lot of information that's not real or what people think it is. Sony's notorious for saying that things are exclusive when they aren't. And so we kind of give leeway in different places. I think where Sony would have just shown the cinematic trailer and been done with it, I think Microsoft was like, or at the very least, 343 Studios was like, let's show a little bit of gameplay. Let's show where we're headed. Because they wanted to convey the fact that this was going to be like the older Halos. Because one of the criticisms of 343 was that they took the series in a direction that was different from Bungie. So in order to you know, appeal to fans, they were trying to go, you know, go backwards, go, you know, go back with like the visuals and whatnot. And I think it kind of it backfired a little bit. But for me, it wasn't so much of that. It was just bad. I was just like, you know what? They're not done yet. Let them finish. At least the gunplay and everything looks good, and it actually looks like they're moving towards the finish line. Versus, again, a lot of Sony, and this is not me being like hating on Sony, because I like a lot of what Sony shows as well. I own all the systems except for the PS5, because I can't freaking find one. But a lot of stuff that they show either doesn't come out, like I know it's a running joke right now, but the fact that The Last Guardian didn't come out till PS4 but was announced for PS3 is hilarious to me, because that was touted as like this big exclusive, et cetera, et cetera. But it didn't come out. I was like, at the very least, they showed gameplay. Sony shows a lot of trailers that are cinematic that doesn't have any gameplay, and so we don't know. You know, I can go further back when they showed you know, that shooter. What's the name of that shooter? They don't make anymore. Gorilla doesn't make anymore. Crap, I forgot the name of it.
Give me some hints.
Hell, no, hell something. Killzone. Sorry, the Killzone. Remember the Killzone E3 trailer where it was like all this glossed up, amazing cinematic, you know, stuff that they said was gameplay, and it was totally not gameplay. Like, when the game came out, I was like, what is this mess? So at the very least, we got to see the rough edges, and I it can only get better from, you know, going forward. You know what I'm saying? At the same time, though, I do agree that it wasn't the best trailer for Halo Infinite. It did not make me want to play it. I just thought
Yeah.
we need more time. You dig?
Yeah, like if I could say something really quick, like If you did you see the Horizon Forbidden West
I
event?
saw some of it. I saw some of the gameplay.
See, it's just that first impression means so much, because there's
It
a lot of
does.
people that are gonna like watch that first impression and never look up anything again. So
True.
they're gonna buy it just based off of that. And
That's facts.
Forbidden West, look, it looked so good. Like everything about it looked beautiful. There was, I believe there was no mention on like release dates or anything, so we have no idea when it's gonna come out. But yeah, besides like that, just how good that looked just makes it look way better than Infinite. It starts off with like a 2-lap lead just because of how good it looked at the first showing.
It did. It did. I'm not gonna lie. It did. And like I said, when Sony does show gameplay, for the most part, it's really good. You know, all the Ratchet, everything they showed for Ratchet and Clank was amazing. Like, I haven't beaten the previous one yet. I have it on my PS4, but I'm getting the second one when I get a PS5. Like, that's just it's gonna happen because it looked great. It sounded like a lot of fun, and I'm not even a huge Ratchet and Clank fan, but it just looked that good. So. Definitely, right? You want to make a really good impression. And I hopefully this E3 they come back with a very good impression or you know give a good look to Halo Infinite. Because I want everybody to win. I want it to be competitive. I don't want it to be lopsided in a sense. But I am interested more so than Halo is like the new Fable. Like I kind of want to know what that's about. I want to know what games are from Bethesda are going there. Going to Microsoft and staying with Microsoft. I want to know what they're doing. And also I want to know more about the Game Pass because there's rumors that Ubisoft's subscription model is coming to Game Pass. If that comes to Game
Damn.
Pass, if that, and granted, this is a rumor, so don't hold me to it, but if that goes to Game Pass, fam, fam, like
You know,
that's a very there's nothing PlayStation offers that beats that. Nothing. You have day and date releases for everything that's exclusive to Microsoft, everything that's coming to Bethesda or Bethesda's making, and then EA Play, and then Ubisoft for one price, even if they raise the price. There's the fam.
here, okay, let me just get one thing out. With that, I feel like everybody that they've been acquiring, like let's say they do get Ubisoft and you get all the Ubisoft games, I don't see this E3 being strong for Ubisoft. I don't think last one was strong. I don't think the one before that was strong. They're gonna show Just Dance 97.
Hey, don't hate on the Just Dance. It sells like it sells way more than some of the games we like.
No. So they're gonna show that. Rainbow Six Quarantine, from what I was able to see and things I heard, it's not looking too hot. Rainbow Six hasn't been Rainbow Six for a while. Rainbow Six Siege is not what like I'm used to, and I grew up as a
Right.
super huge fan of Rainbow Six. And it's just so different. Far Cry 6, it's another Far Cry game. They've never really changed it that much. They have probably the best actor they ever had to play the bad guy, so that's cool. They got the Prince of Persia remake. Cool, I guess. Skull and Bones, we've been hearing about that for years, and nothing significant. I don't know how good that game. If I remember, the way it looked before, it was super similar to Sea of Thieves, and Sea of Thieves has been out for like what, a year or two already. So I just don't see the spot there. And then you have Beyond Good and Evil 2. I'm pretty sure it's been like a decade since they've been talking about Beyond Good and Evil 2. Like it
True.
just
But
like
tell me you wouldn't
Ubisoft.
lose your mind if they showed a new Splinter Cell.
Are they gonna change it as much as they changed Rainbow Six?
Good question. All right.
That's the thing. Like,
Well, here's the thing too though. If they so let's say they have a bad showing, right? At the very
yeah.
least, if they do go to the Game Pass, I don't have to pay anything extra. Like you and a few other people have been telling me like I gotta play that Olympic game. that Ubisoft came out with. What
Oh,
is it?
Phoenix Rising.
Phoenix Rising.
Phoenix Rising was the best thing Ubisoft has had, in my opinion, for years. Years.
Okay, so then think about that for a second. I could play this via the Game Pass. Like, that's pretty
It on
great.
Game Pass? Oh, EA Play. No.
If Ubisoft did it.
Okay.
That's what I'm
That's what you
saying.
mean.
So this is a big if, but so here's the thing, right? Was really, at least for me, I can't speak for anybody else, but for me, Game Pass is such a good bargain because not only do I get to play the games that I want, like Outriders, when it comes out, without having to spend money, or I would say extra money, but then I get to try games that I never was gonna try. Like I was never gonna play some of these games, and then I end up playing them. I'm like, oh, this was actually really good. And I got to do that because I got to. It's basically like being a rental service, and I miss those. Shout out to Gamefly, but you're not hitting it.
Gamefly doesn't hold a candle to late 90s, early 2000s blockbuster.
It doesn't at all. It even me waiting outside for them to open so I can get Mortal Kombat 2 before anybody else, or before it's all rented out. No, it's not the same. But yeah, like I'm able to have that experience again, and so I get to experience a lot, like a lot. And for
Yeah.
someone who can't, I mean, granted, I'm a little bit better off now financially than I was a few years ago, but video games are expensive.
Yeah,
So
they are. Now that the base price is $70 for a lot of the exclusives, yeah, I mean that thing is getting crazy. Not everybody makes, that amount to pay for a game, especially now since you have every game has to come out on top of each other. There's no
exactly.
space. We haven't had a good release in, wait, what came out recently? Has anything come out recently that was like amazing?
Well, Resident Evil wasn't did something come out with that?
Village. What came out with Village?
Well,
Mass Effect.
Massive. See, son of
Yeah, but Mass Effect is a remake, so I don't think you could put that in the same category.
Well, you kind of
Not like.
can though. A remake with three games in one for 50? That's a good. That's pretty solid. Not go
Yeah.
Oh, and Pokemon Snap came out, and
Pokemon Snap, all of that, and you know how I am about Pokemon. Pokemon Snap was straight nostalgia. There was no other reason to buy the game. The
hey,
game isn't good.
nostalgia sells though.
It does. That's why I have it. That's why I bought it day one. But it's not good. That does not mean it's good. The game sucks. I don't like it. I play it because nostalgia trip, but I don't like it. It's not a good game. If it wasn't Pokemon, nobody would have bought it.
I'll let you have that because I can't say at all. But yeah, not a whole, at least for May. I know previous months were kind of big. May, I think, is the first month where we had a decent break in the games where you just like I gotta have this particular game because May was Mass Effect, Resident Evil Village, and
Returnal?
did Return no Returnal was April it was April 30th, so I mean I guess that's kind of close. Resident
This is the
Evil was
week
the
before.
seventh. Yeah, it's the week before, so I mean I guess that counts. So Returnal, so three games, which I mean is still decent. And there's also other games, not saying that all the other games are trash, I'm just saying the big ones that like you set it on your calendar, right? Those were the
Yeah.
games.
But then you have things like next week. Next week is officially Junepocalypse.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You have Game Builder Garage from the Switch, which I'm personally getting because I think my daughters would love it. Where it shows you how to make basically know how to code via like Mario Party. I mean, I'm sorry, Mario Maker, which is amazing. You have Guilty Gear Strive, Ratchet and Clank. You have the
Final Fantasy VII,
Final Fantasy VII. You have
and you have Phantasy Star New Genesis.
Oh man.
Yeah. They took my sleep schedule, and just like F your couch, my sleep
Hold up.
schedule.
They're remaking Zombies Ate My Neighbors? Oh, I have to buy that. I that's also in June. I didn't even know that was a thing. Why didn't anybody tell me? And that's Dolt Dolt Mod. If you don't know Dolt Dotsmu, I can't say the name properly.
Dot emu.
That it's released dot email?
I'm pretty sure it's dot emu.
Oh.
They're the ones that made they're the ones that made
The
they just got the DLC. Streets of Rage 4.
Streets of Rage, well, it was it's a collective between them. It's like three different developers on that, but they also did the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge that's coming out. Like you said, Streets of Rage 4. They do a lot of remake, Wonder Boy and the Dragon's Tap. They take like either make a sequel, a brand new sequel, or they do a remake like with like modern trappings. And just about every game they release has been really freaking good. So yeah, I didn't know they were doing a Zombies versus, I'm sorry, Zombies Ate My Neighbors remake. I am buying that day one. That's you don't even yeah, whatever.
It's all in June, and you got the Mario Golf game coming out in June too.
Oh yeah, see?
That's 2 weeks after.
It's too many games. It's too many, and that's not all the games. We're just naming some of them. There's a bunch more that are coming out. They have a Ninja Gaiden Master Collection coming out. There's a yeah, man, it's just too much. Anyways, going back to E3. So yeah, Microsoft has a big chance to shore up some people's hopes when it comes to exclusives.
I feel like Microsoft right now, like this E3 show, it's either going to be like a home run or a ground out. There's like, I don't see how they even have it in between. Like, there's no way
Well,
they're
the
going
in
to go, eh,
between.
show was all right.
Well, that's the thing. So for me, because I always look at it of a different perspective, being a parent, which is why I was sold on the Game Pass more so than maybe people who are single or who don't have kids, because like my daughter can play Minecraft because of, or well, she plays Minecraft on the Switch, but my other daughters can play with her via the Xbox because of Game Pass. There's also like me and my wife playing Phantasy Star because of Game Pass, so things like that. The fact that I could use my old peripherals with my new console, I have all my old controllers I can use with the Xbox Series X. You know, there's just little things that money saving things, accessibility features, things that Sony just doesn't have right now that shoots Microsoft in the lead for me just because they're trying to have be inclusive as possible. You know, even with bringing everything to PC, you know, people balk at that, but I'm like, yo, that means people like my brother who doesn't really play on consoles as much anymore can actually cross play with me while I'm playing on my console. That's dope. Whereas Sony, granted that that's happening more with Sony, but Sony's been a little stingy in that on that side. So there's certain things that are selling me on Microsoft's ecosystem more so. And then the fact that I can play Outriders on my I played Outriders on my phone, fam. Like I played games in my browser. That stuff really works. I got into the beta to play, you know, the Xbox Game Pass stuff through your browser, and it works. Like, it's a little choppy here and there, but for the most part, it works. And you know Microsoft is going to improve on it. So those things are really cool. Just the freedom to do what you want is one of the reasons why I like what Microsoft is doing, right? Sony, I only ever buy Sony for the exclusives now. PS2 was the last time I bought a Sony product for like multiple games, like not just Sony games, but all the games. Whereas PS3, PS4, and now the PS5 are going to be just for exclusives. And when I look at the exclusive list, I don't even want to play all those games. Like, I want to play Returnal because it looks cool. I don't know how long I'm going to sit with it.
I don't think you'll sit with it long. I really don't. The game is for, I played a fair amount of it. The game targets a specific audience, and a lot of the audience, even though it's an exclusive, they're not going back to it. It's just unless they release some type of like crazy DLC or something. Even the type of game it is, a little rough to throw in DLC. They would just make another game. The game has a lot of roguelike elements, but it's not roguelike enough to make you like keep going back to it, like something you would go back, like me going back to Dead Cells or somebody else going back to like Rogue Legacy. So it just
And
It's
that's
good. Very good game, not a long life.
the thing, like the only thing that bugged me about it was the save option. Because
Was trash.
if it played like an older game where you had to beat it in one sitting, excuse me, I could actually get over that. But the problem that with today's games is they're way freaking longer than the games that you had to do that before. You know what I'm saying? Because at least back in the day, you had codes. Like they would give you, like, once you got past a certain boss in Mega Man, you got a code. Just write the code
Yeah.
down. You can always start from there, right? Because Mega Man was longer than the average game, or at least that style of game was a little bit longer. But other games like Mario, yeah, I could start Mario over all the time because honestly, I could beat that game in 10 minutes, less than 10 minutes. I beat it in 7 once. So it's like I don't mind that starting over, but it was kind of like the idea that it could you could be in the middle of a game, or you put your console to sleep, and then there's an update that totally knocks your save. And one of my friends, David, had his save corrupted because it auto-saved right at a bad part where they
That.
were. Yeah, like that's rough. Like
Yeah,
that.
that was bad
But see.
because
Oh,
yeah,
go
that was
ahead.
the up the there was an update they released where they actually like released a statement saying do not play your game until we revert this. And obviously not everybody's gonna see it, and it happened to a ton of people.
See, yep, and so that goes back to my point with Sony. I'm not gonna play every exclusive, so that even lowers my amount of games to play. Now, mind you, there's a lot of games that I'm catching up on with my PS4 because I got it after my Xbox One, that I'm loving. Like I'm loving a ton of those games, and finally getting to finish them. And it's probably gonna be the same way with PS5, but at the same time, I would rather play Forza than Gran Turismo. I just would. I like Forza more. Shout out to
Better
Gran Turismo. I played all of them I think Gran Turismo 5, I think was my last one. Because you know they take a long time to come out. But like with Forza, you have Forza Horizon series and the more sim-like Forza. I play those, and I'm not even a big racing fan. So like, what sells me isn't so much the idea of an exclusive. Because honestly, I wish there was no exclusives. The only reason I like exclusives is because I like the philosophy. Nintendo's philosophy when it comes to making video games is very different from Microsoft. And because of that, we get different types of games on these systems. I love playing Mario Odyssey and then switching over to Gears of War. You're not going to find a Gears of War on Nintendo. Or at least Nintendo's not going to make one. So I like having that variety. But outside of that, I don't really care for exclusivity. Like, put all of my games in one place and I'll play it on that one thing. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully it's as portable as the Switch. That's it. Or my PC, right? But I don't really care. So what's gonna sell me personally, is everything. Because these systems are so similar. I need all of it. What are you gonna give me that's worth my money? And having one it Yeah, I think they only have one exclusive that's only on the PlayStation 5 right now, and that's Returnal. The other games are going to the PS4. Horizon, the next Horizon is going to PS4. The next God of War they just announced is going to PS4. Why? The only game that isn't is Returnal and Crash Band. I'm not Crash. Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah.
So far. Oh, and Demon's Souls. When that came out, the that's not, but that's an old game. That's a remake of an old game. So, yeah, why? So it's not like, honestly, I think Sony needs and granted, Sony, I don't think Sony's doing a showcase this year, but they need to, in order for me to, I want one because one, I talk about games and I write about games and I cover games for a living. So, yes, I want a PlayStation and I want to play all the games that I can't play. I want to play everything. That's just how I am. Outside of that, though, if it wasn't for those factors, I wouldn't be buying a PS5. I would only have my PC, my Switch, my Xbox Series X. So for me, E3 comes down to what are the most notable things you can show me? For Microsoft, it's probably going to be Game Pass stuff and Bethesda. For Sony, it's going to be an exclusive that actually is a PS5 exclusive that's releasing soon. Not something that you think is going to come out 4 years from now. I'm not going to care. And then Nintendo is just Nintendo. Nintendo's going to rock out. Like, whatever they show, I'm probably going to be happy. Unless they give us another sword
Yeah.
fighter on Smash Brothers, then I'll be pissed.
Nintendo has a big day. Hey, like yeah, Nintendo E3, I don't see how they don't. If they do it right, they win. Like the things that they have listed on what they're showing,
Oh, what did they
possibility.
say?
Well, it's a possibility of these titles showing up. So it's not like,
Oh, okay.
yeah. So it's not like guaranteed. Oh, they're definitely showing this. Although there are some things that you know for a fact that they're showing, and
Oh,
what they're showing
and
for.
a new console, right?
That's I believe that actually came up somewhere on like one of the Amazon affiliates, like Amazon, some other country, Amazon,
Hmm, okay.
where the Switch Pro was already listed, for like 10 seconds and take it down. What we talked about earlier.
Right, I got you. Okay.
So they have that, the Switch Pro, but there's a possibility they could be showing Splatoon 3. Personally, I don't care for it, but it's a super popular game. Bayonetta 3 is actually rumored to be coming up.
Okay.
Then they have Pokemon, the Gen 4 remakes. That's going to be shown a lot more. The release date is already set up for that. It's coming out in November, so they're definitely going to show
Okay.
it. Breath of the Wild 2 is supposed to have a showing. You have all the other Pokemon Legends, which is almost like the open world Pokemon game.
Oh, right.
And then what's supposed to be what's on everybody's like watch list and what everybody's expecting is Metroid Prime 4. Yeah, that's a hell of a lineup.
It is. It's definitely Nintendo fan lineup. it's definitely, but luckily I'm a Nintendo fan, so there you go. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a good. Regardless of how you cut that's solid. And they have third-party games that have been announced previously that we didn't get any a whole lot of, gameplay footage of or didn't have a release date. Like just a lot of stuff that they could talk about. And especially if they just do like a montage of things. And then they're gonna have the treehouse where they actually sit with these games. Like when they first they showed gameplay of Breath of the Wild, they had the developers come and sit and play the game. Like that was really dope to be able to see the game in action and not be a scripted demo, So like I'm looking forward to when Nintendo has the show. I'm looking forward. I'm not too keen on all the Pokemon stuff because I feel like we keep going around in circles with that game.
Oh, don't say that.
I mean you know it. You know it's coming. It's this, for the people who love it. Awesome, but I would like some different type of Pokemon games. Even the newest one, in terms of being different, was a re like a new version of an old game, Pokemon Snap. There hasn't been another Pokemon Snap in years, so it's definitely a new-ish Pokemon game. But it was also a sequel. It wasn't. Hopefully, the open world Pokemon game is dope, but outside of that, the biggest noise that Pokemon has made was freaking Pokemon Go on the on mobile phone, and that wasn't even made by Nintendo. You know what I mean? Like I would like something new, but nostalgia sells, and if you can remake tons and tons, I mean, wow! If you can remake multiple games multiple times and still make a ton of money, then do what you do, because that's really Pokemon. Like, and I got it at the beginning, where if you had like Pokemon Silver or Gold or whatever back in the day, and they had to remake it because they had the color versions come out for the Game Boy Color, and then they had to remake it because certain Pokemon wasn't there. You couldn't bring all the Pokemon, or there was new Pokemon that they wanted to introduce.
That was Ruby Sapphire.
Right.
That was on the Game Boy Advance.
Right. They had new Pokemon that they wanted to implement, but they wanted to, because you can't. The idea is catching them all, and you kind of can't with each game. That's a limitation, and that's built in and unfortunately old hardware. Like it's built in that way. That's why they release double of each game each year. But then also, when there's a ton of new Pokemon, it's like, oh, these games are obsolete now because there's no way to get them on there. So you have to remake the game or make a new one. And so, yeah, they can continuously make these games and people will eat it up. People will eat it up. I think the one that came out for the Switch Sword and
Sword and Shield.
Shield, I think that was a solid move. It's still a lot of the same stuff, but I thought it was a solid move in the right direction. I think that they need to continue on that path of sprinkling in new things here and there until eventually it's a new beast. I think that would be cool in terms of like longevity and just spice. But yeah, so I'm probably not going to be too keen on the Pokemon stuff, but a lot of the other things Nintendo has in store, I'm looking forward to it. I'm curious about the Pro Switch, and not because of what people think. I want to know if they fixed the freaking Joy-Cons. That's it.
Oh, no, I doubt
There's no
it.
way, man. The entire lifespan we've had this problem. Like, even the Xbox stop having the Red Ring of Death at one point. Like, I'm looking at a Joy-Con that I broke trying to repair the thumbstick on. I fixed one of them because I bought a Amazon pack that had two replaceable, little analog sticks,
Yeah.
and I was able to replace one. The other one, I was trying to get the battery part out, and it cracked because it's such a tiny little piece that connects to the controller. It cracked, so I can't use that one. But the fact that I had to do this because they're so backed up, also due to COVID, but because they're also backed up because so many people are sending in their Joy-Cons to be fixed. That's come on. Like, I don't. I also, they need to fix their online. Nintendo, you have a lot of cool stuff that I really, really enjoy. But your thinking when it comes to online, or maybe it's just the capabilities, should be addressed. There's no reason why Mario Party just now got the ability to play online, and not online like four or five mini games that rotate every so often like it was before. Like, we could actually play the maps now. That took way too freaking long. And
Yeah, that did take way too long. And the thing is, you can't even save your progress when you play online.
yeah, like that stuff like that, right? It's like they give you a little bit and then they just, I don't know. It's like they gave you a cookie, but then they broke half of it and dropped it on the ground. It's like, oops. Like, I mean, I guess it's still a treat, right? You got something, but the rest is, ant food, And then, what is it? Animal Crossing. There's no reason why the online should be the way it is. And what's crazy is that the online, in certain aspects, even though it's bad, is better than local play, because local play, you have no agency. At the very least, when I go to visit someone's island, I can pick up stuff and I can keep it. I can go and chop down trees and I can keep stuff if they allow you. When my wife plays with me in Animal Crossing locally, we have to take turns being the main person, because if not, if I'm the main person and she picks up something, it goes to our community chest, like our little the chest inside the tent or whatever. And
Yeah.
so I have to go get it to go sell it. Like, I can't. Why? Like, it does not make local play. Nintendo, there's a ton of stuff I need you to do with updates and whatnot. I don't care about a new season, a new holiday. There's certain just basic fundamental things. Splatoon 2, I can't play with my niece in a regular fashion because I can't actually make a lobby and then for us to join a match. We actually have to try to either jump into a match and hope that we're in the same game and then hope that we're on the same team, or a private match, which is just me and her. They have a cooperative mode that's separate, but in terms of the competitive stuff that we wanted to try to do, I can't do it. It doesn't make any sense. And or the fact that you can't move your data. Anyways, I'm not gonna go on a tangent, but Nintendo, I need you. Those are the things I'm looking for when it comes to your announcements, when it comes to this new console. Basic features and things that we've come to expect from consoles, from online play, from basic video game stuff. I need you to fix that. Everything else is amazing. Fix it. Fix this other stuff.
And it's just I wish there was a reason. Like, if they ever said a reason on why they couldn't do certain things, I'd be somewhat happy. But they just said, like, nah, we can't have this. Why? Because we won't feel like it.
The only reason they gave was for Splatoon in terms of moving your save, or like, because everything on Splatoon is backed up on the console. If you lose your console, you lose everything in Splatoon. And what they were saying was that you couldn't save it to the cloud because, like they said, And this was a awful thing to do too, but they were like, in order to save to the cloud, you had to buy the Nintendo Online thing. But even with that, certain games didn't work, and Splatoon was one of them. They were saying that, you know, it was too easy to kind of hack your ranking and all this other stuff. And I'm like, that sounds like a you problem.
No, that's BS anyway, because people already hack
I'm
it.
just saying, like, that sounds like a you problem. What on continuously online game doesn't have servers? Like, where this stuff is saved. Can you imagine someone like losing everything in, and granted, there aren't any I mean, there's DLC, but there's not any microtransactions or anything like that. So they get a pass there. But can you imagine someone playing something like Fortnite and losing all the stuff I would never play it again. Why would I? If I just
I'm finding
lost
it harder
everything.
to fight after that.
I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean? Like, you if you if something happens to my Switch, all of my Splatoon stuff is gone from Splatoon 2. I can't get it back. And there's no way to circumvent that via a memory card, via the cloud. There's nothing I can do. That's just bad. That's really
Yeah.
bad. You know what I'm saying? Especially for a competitive game where you work hard to reach a rank, or you work hard to unlock all the stuff that you can unlock in the game. Like, that's just, anyways, that's what I'm looking forward to hearing about. And when it comes to the Switch Pro, if it's actually a thing, I want to know how you're going to fix these back end issues. You have more hard, stronger hardware, you know, maybe better infrastructure. I don't know. I don't know. Just something better is what I need before I purchase another Switch console.
Yeah, definitely. So at E3, I want to say there's like two more shows I'm super interested in.
Where are those?
Bias, by the way. Square Enix, have you seen like what they're showing?
I did, but I can't remember actually.
So they have Final Fantasy 16. I don't know if you've seen the
Yeah,
trailer
yeah,
for that
yeah.
game. That story looks ridiculous, and just everything on it, just like visually, looks ridiculous. But that's what Square Enix does with Final Fantasy. They make it look as beautiful as possible.
Right.
That thing is looking amazing. They have a new type of a new Final Fantasy called Final Fantasy Origins. That's supposed to be like a main series spin-off. That's supposed to be like an action RPG. And I'm curious. They said that it's supposed to play something like Neo 2,
Huh.
but with Final Fantasy stuff.
That could be
And
interesting.
yeah, like interest was piqued. Okay, and then they have what else? They're gonna show the Marvel Avengers stuff, but we'll just go right past that. The Black Panther expansion. Which I don't I, honestly at this point I don't really know how I feel about it anymore. Like,
Yeah.
was this supposed to be a full expansion, or did they turn it into that after the news?
I don't know. I'm pretty, it sounds like it was an after thing. Because we had, well, I don't know, because there was news about expansions similar to like Hawk, not Hawk,
Oh, okay.
Hawkeye, where it was going to be story based. All the content was supposed to be story based, and when you get these new characters, there's a story to go with it. So is there's potentially that they're saying expansion, but what they mean is you get the Black Panther character and you get a storyline. And you know, obviously new places to go visit along with the storyline. Because the Hawkeye storyline was with Kate Bishop as well, so it was actually pretty decent in terms of size. So it might be another one of those, and it just the timing is just a little bad.
Yeah, it's possible. So I won't really like, say too much about them. I like say too much to them about that. But they also have that game. We spoke about it before. You remember Forsaken?
Yes.
Yeah, that game looks interesting. Like, I'm not sure if you saw the you saw the trailer, right?
Yeah.
The combat looks pretty interesting, and the world looks gigantic. It just I don't know why, it just like super intrigued me.
It looks good. It looks good. And they show just enough to kind of get you like, oh, what's this about? You know, and so yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing more of that. I heard there was a new IP being worked on.
Yeah.
And I'm interested in anything that's brand new. I'm really interested in. You know, we have, you know, the video game industry lives off of nostalgia and sequels. So getting a brand new thing, even if it's in the vein of another type of game, yeah, let me know. Let me know. So yeah, we could talk all day about E3. There's a ton of stuff, and we're probably going to talk about E3 some more. But that right now is at the end of we're at the end of our show for this week. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I know it's a little different because you know Tess isn't here. We're praying that she gets you know better soon and she's able to jump back in, not just because of the podcast, obviously, but because of we want her to be healthy. But yeah, we definitely want her back on the show, talking about a bunch of different things with us, nerding out a little bit. And so, yeah, definitely send her some love if you can. She might not be able to see it on Twitter just because, again, she can't really look at stuff a whole lot in terms of her phone, TV, and things of that nature, which is also really rough. I didn't get to ask her about that, and I didn't want to talk to her too long, but the idea of being stuck in your house because of COVID and then also not being able to stream anything is a that's a very peculiar place to be in. So I'm definitely, you know, definitely going to be, you know, praying for her and you know, wishing her well. That being said, we will have another show come up next Thursday. And by then, everything is going to be kicking off. So we're going to be talking about essentially video games all day long for the most part. I'm thinking about streaming and doing a co-op stream via Twitch where you actually watch me co-stream what's happening at the show and whatnot. Depending on how many people, you know, how much interest I can kind of garner up, I'll probably do that. I don't want to just be sitting there with like two people. But if people are interested, you know, I'll definitely do that. Beyond that, though, definitely check out the podcast via all the different streaming platforms, whether it's YouTube, Amazon, Spotify, iTunes, Google, whatever you know you like to rock with. We're all over the place now. Shout out to Audio Boom. And yeah, I believe that is it for housekeeping. Jamie, did you have any closing thoughts?
Well, I'm just waiting for this June apocalypse to go past because I'm not going to get any sleep.
Word. And with that note, we will catch you guys later. Take it easy.
Bye.